Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is Aaron Tielitz. Aaron, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Are you up at home?
I am. I actually just pulled into my dad's marina here in Birchwood, Wisconsin, so I am home for Father's Day.
Fantastic. And what does one do up in Birch Lake?
Birchwood.
Birchwood.
On Lake Chautauqua is where our family's resort is, the Fred Thomas Resort, and then the marina's in town at Birchwood.
Very good. Lots of fishing and stuff like that up there, isn't it?
Oh yeah, lots of fishing. We'll be doing a campfire probably tonight and just hanging out, having a good time.
You don't sing, do you, at the campfire?
No, we let our phones play some music for us.
Very good. So it should be a fun weekend coming up at Road America, because you'll be back behind the wheel next weekend at Road America for the IndyCar weekend for Bilardi Racing and the Indy Lights. It feels like a home again, isn't it?
It does. It feels good. That's my home race. You know, I didn't have any rides set up for it, and Brian happens to have an open car and able to slide in there thanks to sponsorship from Endontic Specialists of Wisconsin. If you've got a sore tooth, I'd head there to get your teeth fixed.
And you really should, because my full-time job is in the dental business, dental supplies and equipment. And yeah, people don't realize if you have a bad tooth, that can lead to much, much bigger problems than just a toothache. So, yes, if you do, make sure you check out. What's her name again? Endodontic Specialist?
Yep, Endodontic Specialist of Wisconsin.
Very good. And so what kind of mindset do you have going into this weekend at Road America?
To be honest, I just want to have some fun. I think I have no expectations. I haven't driven a Indy Lights car on a road course since Portland in September last year. So I've got one practice and then qualifying to get my sea legs back under me in an Indy Lights car. But I'm hoping to be up to speed quickly. Obviously, I'd like to fight at the front of the field. I just don't want to be out there making up the numbers. But I know the car is going to be fast. I should be in good shape. Hopefully it's a good weekend.
Yeah. I've seen your Facebook page and you're a guy that's in shape. You're a young guy. You're in shape. But I mean, is there such thing as a racing shape, so to speak?
Well, yeah. I mean, for open wheel cars, a lot of the muscles that develop, your neck muscles and so on, a lot of those muscles, you almost just have to be driving, really, to be in shape. You know, there you can do a lot of neck exercises if you want to, or whatever, to try to strengthen your neck. But there's no substitute for just driving and getting to work out that way. So I'll probably have a lot extra head padding in to keep my head held up at Road America.
And working with a guy with Brian and that, it must feel good, and kind of like an old shoe almost. So we're going back to that team. You're familiar with the guys and that. I mean, how much does that help you going into this weekend?
Yeah, it's a big help to just be confident right away. I know the guys. I know the engineers. You know, we know the setups. We know they've done some work on the cars over the winter to make them quicker. So we should be in good shape. I'm honestly really looking forward to it. And it's just going to be fun. You know, so it's a one-off race. We're just going to go out there and put on a good show for the home crowd.
We're talking to Aaron Tielitz, who's going to be running in the Indy Lights race at the IndyCar Series Rev Group Grand Prix presented by the American Response Group this weekend at Road America. And not only are you running this weekend, but also the following Monday, I believe it is, you're doing a thing for Children's Hospital.
Yeah, that's correct. So there's a charity event being put on. It's a track day at Road America, which track days at Road America are pretty far and few between. They normally cost tons of money, but you can come out and take a hot lap with me. I'll be driving a beautiful Lexus LC500 or some other race car drivers. I think, who's the other local kid that races in?
Well, I know Ryan Eversley is one of them, right?
Yeah, Ryan Eversley's there. Who's the local kid that races in NASCAR? Why am I blanking on his name?
Oh, Josh Balicki, friend of the show, just
yeah,
like you.
Balicki, yeah. He's going to be out there too, I'm pretty sure. I don't know what car he's driving, but he'll be there. Steve Welk will be out there. So all these guys you can get rides from, or you can bring your own car and pay to do some laps of Road America, and all the proceeds go into the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. So that's an awesome little charity event we're doing.
And buy a t-shirt from Steve.
I do have a new Aaron Tielitz Racing beer-themed t-shirt coming out. I had a Line and Kugel-themed shirt the last couple of years. I don't know what brand they're going with this time. I haven't seen any renderings. Don't know what it's going to look like. I'm sure it's going to be cool. It'll be at the track, too.
Excellent. Well, make sure you look up Aaron in the paddock at Road America. Aaron, anything else we need? How's the paintings?
You know what? I haven't done a lot of paintings. I've done a few. I'm actually delivering a painting at Road America for a fan. I did a painting for Gabby Chavez over the winter. But other than that, I haven't done a lot of painting. I need to get back into it. It's just been busy trying to figure out racing stuff this year. It's kind of weird when you're not doing as much racing. You're actually more busy trying to figure out how to get back into a race car than you normally are. So it's been busier than normal.
Well, looking forward to seeing you out there in the Red Bilardi Racing Indy Lights car, and good luck to you, and we'll chat again.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, that's Aaron Tielitz joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community, Steve, since 1935.
We'll have more coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. To the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. And speaking of Great Lakes Dragway, this weekend, it's the Nostalgia Drags. So not only do you get to see pre-1973 dragsters, you get to see the Brew City Gassers, and it's the first annual Auto Site Drags featuring 2 days of vintage drag racing. There's also a swap meet, live music, and more, and plus that delicious Great Lakes Dragway food. So make sure you check out Great Lakes Dragway this weekend. Just a lot of things going on in the racing world as summer is kicking in Wisconsin. And Mitch, what are some of the things you like to do in the summer that are not – can't miss events?
Can't miss events in the summer. Well, Summerfest is probably one of them.
Yeah.
That's pretty obvious, and that's coming up really quick.
Right? Oh, don't forget, July 6th, we're going to be out there for Bugfest. Jeff Orlowski and I. So we expect you there to see some drag racing.
July 6th.
Saturday, July 6th at Great Lakes Dragway.
2 days before my 30th birthday.
What better way to celebrate your birthday than at Great Lakes Dragway?
At Bugfest.
At Bugfest.
With you and Jeff.
Yeah, we'll put you in a car. We'll get you down in...
For my dirty 30, you guys can each buy me a beer. About that?
We'll buy you a couple of beers.
Okay.
And we'll throw you in a dragster. I'm sure there's a ride-along program.
If there's any, if you knew me, there's nothing more than I like than driving fast.
Really?
Not at all.
Oh. Well, that could be something we could arrange.
I'm not a slowpoke, but I'm not a speed demon.
But make sure
kind
you
of
get
a scaredy cat.
The Out of Sight Drags is a pretty cool event at Great Lakes Dragway. So you get to see the gassers, the old slingshot, the rails, super stocks, you name it. Plus that swap meet and live music too. So make sure you get out to Great Lakes Dragway this weekend. Should be a lot of fun. And of course, July 6th, the final inspection will be out there for Bugfest. So
a little live show out there.
Lots of Volkswagens.
Are you guys doing a show out there?
Yeah, we're doing a show. Nice. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, you asked me what I like to do for fun this summer. I had to kind of think about that one because I'm on the radio right now. But, Summerfest and hitting up baseball games and obviously being here at the radio station is something I enjoy doing as well. Doing on-deck shows, stuff like that is, one of many pastimes for sure, which obviously we have one coming up here. Brewers play at 3:05 from San Francisco today, a day game in San Francisco.
Yeah, it should be a lot. It should, hopefully they can rebound from, last night.
Yeah.
This is one of those situations where, you're looking at Zach Davies, 7-0, he's due for, is he one of those, is he going to win
it? Well,
he
wasn't terrible. He just couldn't keep the ball in the yard really last night. And that's two starts in a row now where he went five innings, allowed three runs. So even a quality start, but. Maybe I don't know if he's coming back down to earth. I mean, he's had some great starts this year.
Well, and plus it was a perfect storm with Drew, with Drew Pomeranz, who's a good pitcher but has been struggling of late.
Year. Absolutely terrible. Well,
and so you're thinking, well, maybe that'll continue, and then it's like, he's doing what he pitched.
Well, Pomeranz two starts ago got rocked by the Orioles, who are, awful. Historically bad, in my opinion. But then last time out, he goes out and shuts down the Dodgers, who are historically good. And, you're thinking, okay, maybe he found something out. And then he was pretty solid last night against a Brewers team that, couldn't really cash in,
And then you have a Giants team that doesn't hit home runs.
No.
They start hitting home runs.
Correct. So, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, man, it seems like the Brewers give up a lot of homers. But, we talked about it earlier today on the high school baseball coaches show. That was a great question from McGivern. He asked a couple of the coaches that were in has analytics trickled its way down to high school baseball? And I think it sounds like they have, but maybe in a different way.
Sure.
Because stealing is not really a thing in Major League Baseball these days. Nobody steals bases anymore because you're risking. The percentage of stealing a base in the major leagues is lower than stealing one, I think, in high school baseball.
Right.
So I think that's a high percentage play in high school, but not in the pros. So launch angle is not as much of a thing in high school because guys, let's face it, aren't strong enough, a lot of them, to regardless of – everybody wants to be Ken Griffey Jr. and swing like that, but you got to make contact too.
Yeah.
And even if you do and you're 16 years old, you probably might not have enough strength to get it over a 320-foot wall. So that was an interesting conversation. I checked that out, 1057fmthefan.com.
All right. Now let's take a quick break here, and we're going to come back with Rich Bickle. And I was able to talk to Rich earlier today at the Milwaukee Mile. He's returning, of course, to drive. At the Father's Day, what I'm calling the extravaganza at the Milwaukee Mile tomorrow. So make sure you get out there because you got four classes of cars. You're going to have the ARCA late model series, good looking cars, and a 100 lap race. You're going to have the mid am cars, which have raced at the mile previously. Also, the vintage stock cars and the vintage Indy registry. So they got about 25 plus vintage Indy cars. Cross-section from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and into the 90s. Some pretty cool cars come on out. And what's cool about that, if you walk through the tunnel, that part of the paddock is open. So, and the vintage Indy cars are located right along next to the tunnel. So it's only a short walk from the grandstands if you want to get over there tomorrow. Walk through there, talk to the owners, talk to the drivers. A lot of fun. They'll tell you the history of the car. And it's really cool seeing these cars, some of which are absolute works of art when you see them up close. So lot of fun, a lot of things going on at the Milwaukee Mile, lots of stuff going on at the Great Lakes Dragway. And if you're looking for a car, why not check out DavidHobbs.com? So the best in new and used cars at DavidHobbs.com. So Honda certified pre-owned cars and plus used cars of lots of varieties at David Hobbs. So coming up next on the Final Inspection Show, we're going to have Rich Bickle, NASCAR, short track, slinger legend, coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. And, of course, the Father's Day extravaganza at the Milwaukee Mile. And we'd like to thank Track Enterprises for that. And speaking of which, we have one of the stars that will be running this weekend at the Milwaukee Mile, and it's Rich Bickle. Welcome to the Final Inspection Show.
Great to be here.
And, Rich, it's been a few years since you raced here, and you've raced a whole bunch of different cars. What are some of the races that kind of stick out for you?
Oh, I think coming here with the late models and the ASA cars and the trucks and the Busch car. I mean, you know, been here in pretty much everything. Had a shot at winning a few races and just didn't come to fruition. So it's one of the places I haven't won at in my life, and especially in Wisconsin. And, it'd mean a lot to me to check that one off the box here this weekend.
Yeah, you've had so much success in Wisconsin early on in the 80s and 90s with the late models, especially at Slinger, being a track champion at Slinger and also Slinger Nationals winner. With the Milwaukee Mile, is there one race that kind of sticks out that, oh, that one almost, you know, that one got away from me?
Yeah, I think the truck race. I think we had it won. We broke a valve spring and with 25 to go, and I ran on seven cylinders. I think we finished third or fourth, and it just, you know, one of them situations. It just, you know, part failure, and here we go. You know, just this place always bit me, kind of like Rockford did, and finally when I won Rockford, I think in 90 there, I got out and bit the racetrack on the infield side of it. So I don't know if I could bite this place. It's paved cement all the way around it, but maybe it'd be like kissing the bricks.
Now, 97 was pretty cool. You won a few truck races running for Richard Petty Motorsports. And tell us, how is it running with the King?
Well, that was in 96.
Or 96.
I ran for Richard. And Rich was a great guy. I mean, and people don't remember this or know this, but in 92, in his last race was Jeff Gordon's first race. And I'm the one Richard hit when he caught fire. Trickle Schrader and Walter wrecked off of turn four, and I got slowed up. And about a half hour later, Richard come and hit me in the back, and I got spun around, and he's in a big ball of fire, and I'm like going, oh, my God. So one thing out of that, I still got the bumper cover, and I had him sign it. And I took it to Daytona the next year, and he signed it. I wanted him to sign it the last thing, the King Crown, but he wouldn't do it. But anyway, 4 years later, we're meeting in the motorhome in Rockingham, and I said, well, do you remember me? And he goes, yeah. He said, you're the son of a bitch that backed into me in Atlanta. And I knew right then that he was kind of a jokester and fun guy, and I knew right away we were going to hit it off. And I think I still drove for him, you know, for a few years, but our motor program there wasn't sufficient to be competitive, and I just felt I couldn't, you know, I had to look out for myself for once, you know, instead of trying to mutter through life, and I had to go take a deal with Daryl, which turned out to be a disaster, but motor program there in the Dodge thing in 96, so anything over half a mile was, we weren't competitive, and that's just not fun.
What's your favorite racetrack to run at?
Oh, my God. That's a loaded question. I mean, yeah. It's hard to answer that question. I can tell you a lot of them that I don't like to race.
Okay, that works.
But, I mean, you know, you look back, Slinger's always been one of my favorites, as far as a short track. You go to intermediate track. I like Darlington, you know, because that's a driver's place. Speedway, you know, Daytona was like, compared to Talladega. Talladega, there's no handling there. It's all aero. But Daytona, you know, even though it's the same size, mm-hmm. you got to drive it like a short track. You got to make your car handle there. So super speedway like, you know, Daytona better than Talladega. But, you know, I've been to so many places. I just finally hit 225 different places I raced at. And I always come back to Slinger. I always like Rockford, you know. to me, it's driver's places. You know, that's the biggest thing is where, you know, here's another one you never even think about, the old Lake Geneva paperclip.
Oh, yes. Yep.
You know, I mean, that, me and Wayne Lindsay talked about that the other day. It's one of the places that made you learn how to drive, you know, because, I mean, it was super flat. Turn three is banked the wrong way. But you got to work yourself. You know, that place, you gain inches, not feet. And that's why I think it was so good in Martinsville, because it's a similar type racetrack.
They say the Milwaukee Mile is a driver's track. Tell us how hard it is to set up a car at this track.
Well, you know, things have changed so much technology-wise. So, I've never been here in something like we have now. And it really takes all the feel out of the driver's hand. It's more by what the stopwatch says nowadays, because sometimes the car feels awful. You're still fast. So, you know, back in the day, you knew what you did with the spring change, and we do stuff now that it don't even make logically sense what we did back in the day. So it's really hard to say that. But I always liked this place. It's always been, you know, I come back here when I was a kid, you know, watching Ramo Stott and Don White and McCluskey and all them guys run USAC and sit underneath the stands and hear them big blocks coming down the straightaway and start. I mean, if that didn't give you goosebumps, what did? And I knew I had a race here because of seeing that. And then I got to go to Daytona in 76 with my mom and dad, and they filmed the wreck with Pearson Petty off there. I knew someday I had to be there, and fortunately I got to knock those off the box and plus a lot more.
Talking with Rich Bickle at the Milwaukee Mile, and there's racing is returning to the Milwaukee Mile this weekend. Make sure you get out there tomorrow for Father's Day. Should be a lot of fun. We've got four classes of cars running at the Milwaukee Mile. Weather should be fantastic. And next month, John Close, your good friend and friend of the show, is coming out with an interesting book. It's a book on Rich Bickle, From the Barnyard to the Brickyard. Tell us about that.
Well, it's something, you know, John's been a very close friend of mine. He took one of my first autographed pictures way back in 85 or 6, and we've been friends. We've worked together on and off for years and years and years. And I finally called him. I said, I want to write my book. I want to write my story. And he's the only guy that I would do it. And so we started working on it, and it's been a 3-4 month process. But it really turned out even better than I thought. There's some stuff he remembered that I forgot about, and there's stuff I remembered he forgot about. And it's a true life story of, like, you know, that's what it says. I mean, the first car I got when I was 15 years old, the guy who lived in our subdivision took off on his wife and three kids, and me and the oldest son went up and stole his car out of the barn, and I went Jefferson and raced it. And that's how it started. You know, besides, you know, going to the racetrack every week with my mom and dad since I was born. But, you know, and then you think about that, and then 17 years later, I'm in the inaugural Brickyard. I mean, that don't happen too often. You know, especially, you know, starting in this area and era, like I've told people, out of the 50 greatest short track asphalt guys in the United States, at one time, 40 of them lived here. And you had to race against some guys, but that's what them guys made me good. You know, the competition level was just beyond crazy. And there's some stories in there about lots of things, and my roller skating racing days and motorcycles. And it's just a true life story, and a lot of NASCAR politics. If people read this and don't like it, then there's something wrong, because I don't hold nothing back. It's 99% unedited. I call it the way it is, and the true story the way it is. There's going to be some people who don't really not really be really happy with me. NASCAR won't be happy with me, but you know what? I really don't care.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Rich. We appreciate it and look forward to seeing you race tomorrow at the Milwaukee Mile on Father's Day. Make sure you guys come out and check it out. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, everybody get out here and come support this thing. Everybody, you know, you're sitting here thinking about it. You ain't going to see it on TV. Get your butts out here and sit in the stands, drink a cold beer, enjoy some racing.
All right, thank you. It's Rich Bickle on the Final Inspection Show.
Yeah,
that's
thought,
awesome right there.
Yeah, I thought what he said, that was pretty neat. You know,
get your ass out here and have a beer.
Yeah, and why not? You know, and I think the real important thing, you know, there's some criticism of how Andretti – Michael Andretti and his group was doing the IndyCar promotion at the Milwaukee Mile. And I thought one of the things I really kind of disagreed with was shutting out the infield for tailgating and that. And that's a big part of, especially when I would go there as a teenager and that as a fan. I mean, we would sit in the infield, kind of have a little campground, get your grill, get your beer. I remember there was one IndyCar race. It was hot. I mean, it was really, really hot. And
isn't it usually like 100 degrees in Indy?
Seemed,
like for the 500?
It was hot in Milwaukee, and it was sunny. And I think it's my all-time record for drinking beer. Oh, but it was one of those things where, you know what, I don't think about it, you know? I don't even recall running to the restroom because I think you were just sweating it out so fast.
Yeah, probably.
But, but seriously, you know, this is really cool because the infield is open. Get out there. The grandstand's open at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Practice starts at 9:30. You got qualifying at 11. Racing starts at 1 o'clock. You have a 100-mile ARCA late model feature, and plus you got the Win Mid-Am cars, you got the vintage stock cars, and you have vintage Indy cars. So there's a little bit for everybody. There should be some vendors out there, too, tomorrow, and you can actually come on into Cross under the tunnel just past Turn 4, take a look at the vintage Indy cars, talk to the owners and drivers there. They'll be more than happy to answer any questions. You get to see the cars up close. And it should be a lot of fun. I'm just looking forward to it, and it should be a great show tomorrow. And speaking of a great show, one thing that I don't know was, it was a good show on TV, but not a lot of people agreed on how it ended, was last week's Canadian Grand Prix, and that's been one of the big topics in the racing world. I was able to talk to David Hobbs, former Formula One commentator, about this earlier in the week. So coming up next, we'll chat with David Hobbs and talk about all things Formula One, including the Canadian Grand Prix controversy, coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda. Make sure to check out DavidHobbs.com for all the latest in new and used cars. Quite a wide variety of the used car variety. Speaking of which, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is David Hobbs. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Steve. Always glad to be on here with you.
And, you know, last couple of weeks, we've been wondering, you know, Jeff, the Polish Pipe Bomb, and I have been wondering, like, what are we going to talk about Formula One? Do the listeners really want to hear about, you know, Lewis Hamilton winning another race? And, well, we got the Canadian Grand Prix, which is always interesting. It's one of my you know, top five tracks, I think, on the circuit. Always provides interesting racing. And, boy, that was quite the... to say controversial is an understatement, isn't it?
Yes, and it's a shame because the Canadian race, you know, for people who live in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, is actually pretty easy to get to, really, and it's a great place to go. You stay in a city and you go out to the track on the subway, and it's all very, very simple. And as you saw yesterday on the TV, big crowd. But the race itself, well, the Ferraris finally reached some sort of their promise was fulfilled in qualifying, and they qualified first and third. And as the green flag fell or the lights went out, Vettel made a brilliant start. In fact, both the front guys made a brilliant start, but Vettel got into turn one first. Leclerc nearly got down the inside of Hamilton, but Hamilton sort of made sure he stayed in front. And then we proceeded to see a tremendous driving display from both Vettel in the Ferrari and Hamilton in the Mercedes. Obviously, we've seen Hamilton put on a brilliant driving display many times this year already. And they were having a terrific dogfight for the lead. There was some good racing going on behind them. Leclerc was going in front of Bottas. The Bottas in the second Mercedes was languishing back in fifth for a long time. But obviously, as you say, the controversy came towards the end. And Hamilton had dropped back a bit. He was 5 seconds behind when they put the hard tyres on. He gradually reduced that gap to, well, virtually nothing. I mean, he was right behind Vettel. And ultimately, at the turn three and four, right-left chicane, Vettel made a bit of a mistake, shot off the road to the left, hurtled across the grass, came back on the track, Hamilton had pounced when he saw his opening, but couldn't quite make the pass. And Vettel squeezed him up to the wall, and Hamilton backed out. And that's how the race finished. But Hamilton had radioed in that he thought that Vettel had made an unsafe return to the track. Well, obviously, Hamilton would, as would Vettel in the positions have been reversed. And I don't know, in my opinion, I think the stewards kind of overreacted to it, and they gave Vettel a five-second penalty. There was absolutely no way that he could pull 5 seconds in front of Hamilton, and so when the checkered flag fell, the red car crossed the line first, but the stewards gave the win to Hamilton, making his seventh Canadian Grand Prix win, which is extraordinary for one driver to win seven Grand Prix. And Ferrari made another tactical error this year. I saw today that they forgot to tell Leclerc that Vettel had a five-second penalty. And Leclerc was pulling up on the leaders, and another second, another lap, and he would have come second. No, he was third on the road.
Right.
So, and I mean, I made some comments on Twitter, and you know, you've got the usual rules is rules. I mean, it says you unsafe re-entry, which it was. And as I pointed out, well, it was unsafe, but he was totally out of control. There wasn't much he could do about it. And these things happen in racing. And Damon Hill sided with me on the Twitter sphere. Jenson Button had already said that he thought it was a bit overreacting. And Johnny Herbert, who's another commentator for Sky Sports, said that he felt it was a racing incident and he shouldn't have been penalised. And even though I'm a closet Mercedes supporter and a big fan of Lewis Hamilton, I'm also a big fan of Vettel. And, well, everybody knows I'm a big fan of Nico Hülkenberg. I just thought it just took away so much from the race. And I think it's a case of Formula One shooting itself in the foot.
It certainly has, and I kind of wanted to get into the dynamics of the officiating in there. And it was Emmanuel Pirro who is the one of the officials in there, and that's usually something that's been rotated. I think Danny Sullivan's been in there. There's been a few others. I thought Johnny Herbert was one of the subs too. Maybe I could be wrong in that. But is it his call? Is it now? In the past, we had Charlie Whiting, who unfortunately passed away at the eve of or the start of the year. But who replaced Charlie Whiting, and does he have a say in that, or is that strictly Pirro's call at this point?
I think, well, I've often wondered about it. I think the fact is it's the call of the stewards, and mm-hmm. It's not just Emanuele Pirro.
Okay.
There are two or three permanent members, and they have a driver because, you know, from many years ago, drivers would complain,
sure,
about, you know, not being any driver representation on the stewards committee, and they felt that would be better for the drivers if there was a driver there who could really understand these things. Now, somebody again in the Twitter sphere said, "Who the hell's Emmanuel Pirro? He hasn't won a thing in his life." Well, of course, he's won Le Mans 5 times,
right? So,
and he's a very good driver, and they see a little bit more than we. They see a lot more shots.
Sure.
They hear radio that we don't hear. Jolyon Palmer today wrote a very big piece for the BBC in England saying that they did exactly the right thing. Nico Rosberg said they did exactly the right thing, because Nico Rosberg, somewhat biased, being a world champion in a Mercedes. So, I don't know. Obviously, it's those one of those things, a divergent opinion. But
what?
I think the real problem is too many rules and regulations and not enough, you know, just sheer raw racing from the gut. I mean, can you imagine if this had happened to Johnny Rutherford and AJ Foyt in the 60s, for instance?
Exactly.
We wouldn't be having a penalty put in there. We'd have a punch up in the bar afterwards, and that would be... But it's just... And I think it's very unfortunate. I think that if Charlie Whiting had been there, although it's not his call,
right,
I think that someone like him would have said, well, look, yeah, you're probably right, but there's a lot of doubt. And for the sake of Formula One, I think we should just let it drop. But anyway, nobody did say that. And so he was penalized, and it left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And, of course, it's just another sort of bad mark that F1 does not need. I mean, especially here in the States, where it has a struggle. Anyway, IndyCar racing now is so good. Different winner apparently every week. Different style of track every week. And, of course, obviously, the big one's coming up in just under 2 weeks now at Road America. So we'll see the IndyCar guys there in full flight, which should be fun. But it's just something that I just think that wiser heads should have prevailed, and they said, well, too close to call, so we'll just call it a racing incident.
I find it interesting that the two second-generation drivers that you brought up, Palmer and Rosberg, I think their fathers would think the complete opposite with, K.K. Rosberg, a former world champion, and then Jonathan Palmer, who is somebody you actually drove with in some WEC events. I'm kind of would like to know what their opinion of it, whereas their sons think, judicialness is the appropriate way to go through this, and I think they might differ on their opinions.
I think KK particularly would have been apoplectic. I think he would have been, I mean, Mario, said he thought it should have been, it shouldn't have happened. And you don't get much more of a driver's driver than Mario Andretti, and or KK for that matter. I mean, tough, tough drivers coming from a tough era when it was so much more dangerous. And I don't think KK would have agreed with his son on that at all. And I'm surprised, quite honestly, that Nico Rosberg thought that.
Mm-hmm.
At my level and at my age, I can sort of get into these arguments, and it doesn't matter to me one way or the other. But for someone like Nico, I would have thought he'd have kept his nose out of that, really. Although Damon Hill, son of Graham Hill, what, two-time world champion, and Damon, a one-time world champion. And Damon agreed. He thought it shouldn't have happened. And apparently his wife thought so and muttered some expletive, it's something racing. And Damon said in his tweet, I must have a word with about swearing in the house. Well, that was rather amusing. But yeah, it spoiled what had been up
it
there.
It did.
A pretty good race. I mean, they disappeared into the distance. But there was some pretty good racing going on down the pack. Daniel Ricciardo had the best result for a Renault for actually some time. He came sixth, which was the best result for a Renault in Canada since like 2011. Hülkenberg ran about eighth. Gasly got points for in the Honda. In Verstappen didn't do as well as I thought he would. Bottas got fourth place, and then he came in at right near the end, put on some soft tires, and got the fastest lap, which of course this year gets you another point. So he is now 29 points behind his teammate Lewis Hamilton for the championship. But Sebastian Vettel is now 62 points behind, which is, two and a half races.
Mm-hmm.
So, Hamilton could sit out two races, Vettel could win them both, and he'd still be trailing Hamilton. So it was not a good day for either Ferrari or Vettel. But then a lot of people, again, I felt for Vettel yesterday, but to not put too fine a point on it, in the last 2 years, Vettel has made a lot of mistakes. Hamilton has made very, very few.
That's true.
And everybody said, well, this was a Vettel mistake. He made the mistake. He went off the road under pressure. He did it last year two or three times. He's done it once this year already at Bahrain. He spun when battling for the lead with Lewis Hamilton. Well, actually battling for second behind Charles Leclerc in the other Ferrari. So, maybe under pressure, Lewis Hamilton is not quite as good as as Lewis Hamilton.
Very interesting points. I was talking with David Hobbs on a Great Midwest Bank hotline on the Final Inspection Show. And David, you, of course, made your triumphant return to Wisconsin earlier this week. The motorcade, they blocked off I-41, I think, or 43 for you as your motorcade made it up north towards Elkhart Lake. And this weekend, of course, it's the Milwaukee Mile, and as racing returns to the Milwaukee Mile, then the following week, next week, we have IndyCar racing at Road America. And this is a chance for a couple of opportunities for the fans to come out and meet Mr. David Hobbs, isn't it?
Well, it is on Thursday night. There's a party going to be held at Seepkins Resort, which is in aid of racing for kids. And there'll be all sorts of stars there. I should be sitting in the corner for an hour or two, selling my book, signing my book. And some of the proceeds will go to the Racing for Kids, and that's going to be at Seekins Hotel, which is in new hands now, and that'll be on Thursday night. Then on Friday night, at the track, the Road America are putting on a dinner with David, which will be in their conference room, which is all part of a new gift shop, which is a very splendiferous new building, and there's going to be a dinner for David. What's going to happen there, I'm not absolutely sure yet, but anyway, I'll be there for that. And then, of course, obviously I'll be there on Friday, Saturday and Sunday watching the practice, qualifying and the race, and selling some books in the gift shop. And also at Randy Owens' stand, where he'll be selling his fantastic artwork. So, yeah, busy weekend will be the weekend after next. And then I'm looking forward to the summer back in Wisconsin.
Sure.
A lot of good events at Road America this year. Obviously, the IndyCar event's a big one. Then there's the vintage, Brian Redman's vintage race, middle weekend in July. And, of course, the first weekend in August is IMSA. And then, of course, the NASCAR race. So, busy old place Road America is going to be this summer.
The event on Friday is available. There are a limited amount of tickets available, limited seating for a dinner with David on Friday, June 21st at Road America. If you go to roadamerica.com and click down on the menu, you'll see the dinner with David icon. Click on that and it'll show you how you can get tickets. And hopefully if you're interested and you want to go, there will be tickets available. I would say not a black tie event, but it is a nicer event, and the dinner tickets certainly indicate that. And the main course, charred grill filet with a wine, red wine, demi and herb roasted shrimp, served with horseradish, mashed potatoes, snap peas with leeks, shiitake mushrooms, and a craisin saute. So a very, this is not your just brats and a hamburgers event. This is going to be a pretty nice event at Road America, part of their series that they do up there. And David, certainly appreciate you taking time out with us. And like I said, two opportunities for sure on Thursday and Friday to meet David. And then, like, once again, with our friend, Randy Owens, who will have a tent up there too. So, looking forward to seeing you at Road America next week.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show, as always. And keep your eye on Formula One, and you and I will check over the months ahead. And pretty good season going on, and a wonderful IndyCar season going mm-hmm. on with lots of winners. And Joseph Newgarden having a terrific victory just last Saturday night in Texas. Lots of good racing coming up in the rest of 2019. And looking forward to next weekend at Road America, and the opportunity to meet some fans, sign some autographs and stuff like that. And of course, obviously that's a very sophisticated dinner on the Friday night, but obviously Steve, sophisticated dinner for sophisticated guests. So there you go.
Very good. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. You've been listening to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends. And speaking of which, David Hobbs Honda, 6100 North Green Bay Avenue. Make sure to check out davidhobbs.com for all the latest in new and used cars. Thank you for listening to the Final Inspection Show.
And there he is. That'll do it for us here on the Final Inspection Show this weekend on The Fan. Steve Zottke, Mayor Mitch here, taking you around the world of racing a little bit. Get out there, to the Milwaukee Mile and enjoy that a little bit. As Rich Bickle said, get your ass out here and have a beer and support the Milwaukee Mile and racing in Milwaukee so we can keep that thing going a little more often than it is. That's going to do it for us here on the Final Inspection Show. Coming up here next, it's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show. Bill Baby Tausch Schmid in the building. Get you guys set for first pitch. Brewers and Giants coming up. Brewers looking to avenge that 5-3 loss last night. A tough one. The Giants homer three times on that game last night. They had just 21 home runs at home all season long coming in. So Brewers pitching looking to kind of rebound a little bit. Alex Claudio, why not? Gave up a home run, a big one last night to Michael Yastrzemski, not to be confused with Carl Yastrzemski, his grandfather, the Hall of Famer. He had a big two-run shot for the Giants last night to kind of give them the game winner right there. And the Brewers looking to bounce back again. It'll be Jimmy Nelson making his second start of the year against Madison Bumgarner for the San Francisco Giants, a guy you might want to keep your eye on, Brewers fans, who the Brewers could be looking to potentially acquire coming up here in July at the trade deadline as the Brewers look to bolster their position in the playoff picture. That's going to do it for us here on the Final Inspection Show. We'll have the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.